Tonight's scripture is it is over here. Our first reading is from Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I bless you, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds, and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures throughout all generations. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. And from Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning with verse 12. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants, after them out of all the peoples, as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of God and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the strangers and provides them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, for him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the heavens. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, throughout Scripture, we hear this word awesome. And I'm just going to read a few verses for you from different places in the Bible. I've already read Psalm 145 and Deuteronomy 10. Two other verses from Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 21. Have no dread of your enemies, for the Lord your God, who is present with you, is a great and awesome God. And chapter 28, verse 58, if you do not diligently observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, fear his glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome and king, a great king over all the earth. And back to the Psalms, verse 47. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Psalm 65, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. Psalm 68, God, our God, is a God feared in the council of the holy ones, great and awesome above all that are around him. And Psalm 89, he sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. In Exodus chapter 15, we hear these words, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? And in Job chapter 37, out of the north comes golden splendor around God, his awesome majesty. And the last one is from Nehemiah chapter 1. I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is awesome. God's name is awesome, we're told in those scriptures. God's deeds are awesome. God's splendor and majesty, awesome. God's faithfulness and steadfast love, awesome. In our current context, awesome really means great and sensational. It's kind of a word of performance today for us. That was an awesome performance, or that was an awesome athletic output. It was awesome. It was great and sensational in that sense of mega, mega cool. And I couldn't help but wonder what other words we might use today. Maybe extraordinary or astonishing or amazing. Or maybe the most contemporary word we could choose is God is epic. God is epic. And while that's all true, that's not the origin of this word awesome. In its origin, it is a word that meant one who was worthy of reverence and fear. So oftentimes in Scripture, when the Scripture says God is awesome, it means that God is worthy of both reverence and fear. God is worthy of a reverent fear. We see this a little bit in Job, the book of Job. And if you don't know the story of Job, I would encourage you to read it. But in Job chapter 1, the deal between God and the devil has been made. And the attacks on Job's property and his family have begun. And from every direction, messengers are coming to Job. One says to him, Job, your oxen, your donkeys have been killed along with your servants. I'm the only one who has escaped. At the same time, another comes and says, fire from God fell from heaven and burned up your sheep and your servants. I'm the only one who has escaped. Another comes and says, your enemies have killed your camels and your servants. I'm the only one who has escaped. And finally, a messenger comes with a word saying, the wind has toppled the house of your oldest son and has killed your family, Job. And we're told in that moment that Job arose and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground. And what did he do? Did he curse God? No. He worshiped God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to the earth. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is really the spirit of this word awesome. God gives and God takes. A reverent fear of a God who can both give and take. It's more like, in a sense, more like awe, full of awe. As if to say, who am I to question God? Who am I to question this awesome God who can both give life and take life? That word in Hebrew is kind of a two-part word. It's Yah, Y-A-W, Yah, Ray, R-A-Y, Yah, Ray. Kind of sounds like the Hebrew word for God, Yahweh, but it's Yah, Ray. And it's a word that means having an essence that creates both fear and love. It reminds me a little bit of an old episode of The Cosby Show. Bill says to his son Theo, "Theo, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out." He wanted both the reverence and the fear of his son. Luther constantly says this in the catechism. He says we are to fear and love God. This is based on this understanding of Yah-Reh. Life-giving, life-taking, that power of God. But here's the thing that I want you to think with me about tonight. Once we learn what is awesome about God, his name, his deeds, his splendor and majesty, his faithfulness and steadfast love, and once we see God in action through Jesus Christ, action that is meant not to alienate us, not to destroy us, not to take life, not to destroy life, but to give life, to restore life, to renew life, to save life, then instead of Yah-Reh, instead of that fear, we turn to Ba-Taka. It's the same, it's a Hebrew word. Instead of Yah, it's Ba. They almost rhyme. Instead of Yah, Y-A-W, it's B-A-W, Ba. Instead of Reh, it's Taka, T-A-K-H, Taka. Ba-taka. Once we see what is awesome about God, his name, his deeds, his splendor and majesty, his faithfulness and steadfast love, we begin to trust. And that's what that word means. We begin to trust. We begin to trust the God who can both give life and take life. The God who gives and the God who takes. And Luther says this in his very first explanation of the very first commandment. And that commandment is, I should ask one of our confirmation students here tonight, but I won't. You shall have no other gods before me. That is the first commandment. And Luther writes, what does this mean? He says we are to fear, love, and trust God above all else. We are to fear, love, and trust God. We recognize that God can give life and God can take life. God can give gifts and God can take gifts away. But in the midst of all that, we learn step by step, struggle by struggle, we learn to trust God above all else. And we can do that because God is awesome. God's name is awesome. God's deeds are awesome. God's splendor and majesty are awesome. God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love are awesome, and they are yours. They are yours, and they are mine. His name is your name. Child of God, son of God, daughter of God. His deeds are done for you. Jesus was given for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who trusts in him may not perish but have everlasting life. His splendor and his majesty are awesome, and they are yours. God pours out his own splendor and majesty upon you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And his faithfulness and steadfast love are yours as well. We think about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is faithful. God is steadfast. And it is yours. And so tonight we celebrate the awesomeness of God. And we remember that we are to fear, love, and trust God above all else. Because God is the one who will see us through. Amen.